This is the second week of Epiphany. And today I want to explore more with you the joy of discovery. I feel like I've already said my sermon, but bear with me. It gets exciting here. Epiphany means a sudden sign or a perception of something essential or meaning of something. So, you know, it's that aha moment. Sometimes you think of, I think of scientists saying, "Eureka, I found it." That is what an epiphany is, an aha. Sometimes I have an epiphany, maybe you do too, when all of a sudden everything seems so clear. Like for that brief moment, I catch a glimpse of the eternal, and it just fills me with awe. And then it leaves. But that's an epiphany. That's it. This is an Ethiopian icon of the visit of the Magi. This time of Epiphany is also a marvelous time for the church, because in here we celebrate how God came and was revealed to the world, not just to the Jews, but to the world. And we celebrate that, the visit of the Magi, which were not Jewish people, who were possibly worshipers of a different gods, but who came to recognize, came to see, came to understand that this was God. They were not part of the Abrahamic family. They were not part of that promise to Abraham and his descendants. But they were part of the new thing that God was going to do. This is why we celebrate Epiphany, because God is being revealed to the world. Through you, through Abraham's descendants, all the families of the earth would be blessed. We read that in Genesis 12, verse 3. And we celebrate during Epiphany that God is not limited to the select few. So from the very beginning, Christ was revealed to the outcast. We have the unwed teen mother, Mary, the ceremonially unclean shepherds, the Gentile Magi, the widowed Anna, and you could say that he was revealed to Herod, who feared him and the power over all that he possessed. Later, the outspoken John the Baptist, the eager yet clueless disciples, Pilate, the growing number of new disciples and apostles, the early church, and we could go on and on and on. You see, the church was never intended to close its doors to the world outside, but was and still is called to be a beacon, a light in a dark room, a star in the sky of darkness, a city on a hill. Showing, revealing, where is God? God is here. One of my favorite pastors whose sermons I read frequently is Peter L. Haynes. He's a retired Church of the Brethren pastor. And he says that during Epiphany, we are challenged to wonder and be in awe of the magnitude and infinite within the finite, to wonder anew at how God is being revealed in the world around us. But I want to say that God is not only being revealed in the world around us, but God is also being revealed within us and among us. God is not only working in our world, but God is also working in our hearts and in the hearts and the lives of our sisters and brothers sitting in the pews beside us. All of our scripture today, the scripture that that Char read and the scripture that I'll be reading later directs us, who are God's people, towards being known and loved and honored. And in each passage, scripture speaks of gifts given to the people of God. So in Isaiah 62, the prophet proclaims a time when the people of God will once again be known. Instead of forsaken, they will be named Hephzibah. Now, Hephzibah means the Lord delights in her. So instead of being forsaken, they will be known as the Lord delights in you. And their home will no longer be called desolate, but be called Beulah. And Beulah means married. And by married, in the Hebraic sense, it means to be claimed, to be honored, to be taken care of. So, instead of forsaken, they will be called delighted in. Instead of desolate, they will be called claimed, honored, taken care of. It's a wonderful gift that God has given. And in the Psalms, we read of how all are welcome to take refuge. All are welcome to take refuge in the shadow of God's wing, to feast together in the house of God, and to drink deeply from the rivers of God's delight. And that also is a wonderful gift. The gospel text, which we didn't read today, is the wedding of Cana. And this is where Jesus provides the best wine at a wedding, where he could have just let it go and say, they're out of wine. But instead, Jesus provided and gave decadence to something that could have just been ordinary. Another wonderful gift of grace to that couple, to that family. Our text from is from 1 Corinthians, and it's no different. In this chapter, the people of God are a body together, with Christ as the head. Christ is thus made manifest in the body. We see God being revealed in the body, when the body works together in unity and treasuring and honoring all the gifts that each part gives. So no one gift is better than the other, wrote Paul, and something the folks needed to hear and something that I think the world needs to hear. No one gift is better than another. He wrote, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want to leave you uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were entitled and led astray, you're enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, 'Let Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation," "of the Spirit for the common good. So to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses." The variety of gifts is wonderful. Eugene Peterson in The Message interprets these gifts as wise counsel, clear understanding, simple faith, healing, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All of these gifts are activated by one and the same Spirit who hands each one out as the Spirit chooses. And each one of these gifts is for the good of all. And that means that they're gifts to the whole congregation, the community, not just the individual who has them. With the focus on how God is manifesting among us, then our focus becomes less about us and picking out the differences between us. And it becomes more about, where is God? Where do I see God among us? And it becomes easier with practice. We could say that focusing on witnessing God in our midst is a spiritual discipline. What will strengthen our spirituality and will also improve our relationship within the congregation and with our neighbors? And this is indeed a reason to rejoice. There are a variety of gifts, which is charismata, but the same Spirit. And there's the word for Spirit, pneuma, breath, air. There are varieties of ministries, diaconia, which is the what we use for deacons. That's where the word deacon comes from. But the same Lord, Kyrios. There are a variety of activities, and that is where we get the word energy from, but the same God, Theos, activating, and there's that word energy again, all in all. Before I go on, let me pause and remind you of how things interconnect. The abilities that God provides to each of us, the gifts that God bestows on us, are not disconnected from the other gifts. They don't each exist as in a vacuum. No, each gift is connected to the other, just like the head is connected to the foot through the body. Sometimes we feel as if everyone should be like we are. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who thinks that way. I think everyone should be like me, spiritually, maybe emotionally. But if that were the case, then our church would be a really boring place. Sometimes we forget about how our abilities complement each other. We are not in competition. Instead, we are woven together by God, interconnecting, working together, not against each other. There's a lot that we can learn about our gifts and interconnectedness through this text in 1 Corinthians, but it's hard to understand everything that Paul is saying to the Corinthians without doing a little bit of hermeneutics. Now, Barb mentioned the word hermeneutics in our Bible study last week, and I was like, oh yeah, there's that word. What does hermeneutics mean? It means to study with intent the deeper meaning of the language here. So it's hard to understand everything that Paul is suggesting to the Corinthians without doing a deeper study in what he is actually saying, delving deep into the words that he writes and uses to illustrate the point. And I'm a big fan of word study, if you haven't noticed that already. And I really think that if we look at some of the key words in the text, we may have an epiphany. At least I did when I did this. Maybe we will be more able to see how God is being revealed in our community and in our lives when we do a little bit of a word study here. So let's look at certain words, how they interconnect. Certain words that Paul uses. And we don't notice this in English, which is why it's important to notice what it's saying in the source language. There are a variety of gifts, Paul writes, and the Greek word for gift here is charisma. We use that word in English when we talk about someone who's got it, right? They've got charisma. Charisma means a gift given, a freely given gift. And the word charismata, which means many gifts. It's important in understanding Paul's message to the congregation in Corinth to look deeply at the words he uses. And then to ignore the root of these words, in this case, would take away from the meaning of the word gifts. So gifts has a special root word, and that is kara, or chara. I'm not exactly sure how to say that, which means joy, or perhaps more specifically, it means rejoicefulness. Does that make sense to you? To be in a state of rejoicing. So the verb of kara is kairo, to rejoice. Here we can see kara, joy, rejoicefulness. Kairo, to rejoice. Charisma, gift, and charismata, gifts. You can see where the root, and you can see the different, I don't know, language people, help me out. What are those called? The stuff that comes from the root. I don't know. Rejoicefulness is part of this variety of gifts. Practicing gladness and rejoicefulness is a spiritual discipline. It means you've got to sometimes work for it. And it contains within it a hefty dose of gratitude that is present even when happiness has faded. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice always. A fruit of the Spirit is rejoicefulness. Seeking out our God-given gifts together requires a lightness of spirit, not a heaviness of heart. It means gratitude, not grumbling. And you can even do that when you're not happy. In a similar vein, from the root word kara, also you hear echoes of grace. And charis is the Greek word for grace. So we have joy, kairo, to rejoice, charisma, gift, charismata, gifts, charis, grace. And here by grace I mean loving kindness, goodwill, charity, and favor. God loves us just the way we are, completely, utterly, ugly bits and all. It doesn't matter, God loves you. It's not anything we do that causes God to love us, not ever. And anything we don't do will never, anything we don't do. There is nothing we can do that will cause God to not love us. God doesn't love us any less because of what we do. Romans 5 verse 8 reminds us that God proves this love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God reached out and forgave us, welcomed us, found us. God always thinks the best of us. That is charis. That is grace. And the word for spiritual gifts, charisma, stems from the word grace. So, kara, kairo are the root words for charis, charisma, and charismata. And charis is the root word for charisma. So grace, from grace we receive the gifts. Here's another word connection. When we come together to celebrate communion, we celebrate the sacred rite of the Eucharist. And there we have it again. In Greek, Eucharist is the word used for what Jesus did in the upper room when he broke and blessed the bread and the cup with his disciples. He gave thanks to God. And when we celebrate the Eucharist, we celebrate with Christ, giving thanks, gratitude, being thankful with joy and grace and love. Gift, gifts. Joy, rejoice. Grace, gift, gifts, to give thanks. It's all connected. Paul writes, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." It's appropriate to connect this common good of discerning and learning how to use our God-given abilities, the manifestation or the epiphany of the Spirit, with the communion that we share together with Jesus. God's spiritual gifts are not given from malice, irritation, or with any expectation other than for us to use these gifts for love, for the benefit of the congregation, and for the community around us. These gifts are to be used to point others towards the nature of God, which is love. So let me remind you of the gifts that Paul names in 1 Corinthians 12. These are wise counsel, clear understanding, simple faith, healing, miraculous acts, proclamations, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And I want to name some gifts, charismata, that I see that are activated in our congregation. These are and are not limited to caring counsel, artistic ministry, like quilting, painting, drawing, writing, poetry and prose, singing, accompanying, other music making, other kinds of artistic things that I can't think of at the moment. Hospitality and welcome, intuition, willing service, compassion and empathy, intuitive earth care, child magnetism, interpretation of scripture, and the list could go on and on. Together, we are God's gift to each other and to the world, not in an entitled way, but in a way that shines out the love of God so that everyone is drawn to the light. And woven through all these gifts, those that I named today and those which I don't know but we have, is our common walk with Christ and each other. And we best shine these gifts when we use them as they're meant to be. Full of deep-seated sense of joy, a rejoicefulness that can't be taken away from us, no matter what. An unmerited grace that helps us to live lightly within ourselves and towards each other. A sense that it is all a gift from God, not something that we have to earn. Which fills us with gratitude and rejoicing as we go. During Epiphany, we are challenged to wonder and be in awe at the magnitude and infinite within the finite. To wonder anew at how God is being revealed in the world around us and within us and among us. We are challenged to aim our God-given gifts outwards and to follow Jesus where he leads. Friends, God is not only in the sky looking down on us, nor is God only in a tiny baby who became our Savior, teacher, and hope, but God is among us. God's Spirit is working through us. We need to look inward. We need to look at ourselves, at each other, and behold how God is being revealed here, right now. Can we look at within ourselves? Can you look at your neighbor with that same wonder? So I invite you to take a look at yourself this week. Maybe while you're filling out the worship survey that's in your bulletins. Thought I'd put a plug in there. Look at yourself and note how God is giving you these gifts of grace and joy. Gifts that God is expecting, anticipating you to use for the benefit of everyone around you. What are your gifts? What is your charisma that God has given uniquely to you for the journey onward and outward? And then also I want you to think about the people that are around you. Maybe look at the people beside you in the pew. And if there's nobody beside you in the pew, look at the people around you. How is God being revealed to them? How is God being revealed to you through them? I pray today that you will be overflowing with rejoicefulness, appreciating and loving and giving freely of the gifts that you so graciously have been given. Amen. So one of our anthems, well, I don't know if it's any of your anthems, but one of my anthems for my life has been this song, Will You Let Me Be Your Servant? And it's a really great song about how God is using our gifts to be a light to people around us. Let's sing it together. 778, I believe.